Micah, did you get any emails today, particularly from me?
Let me just check. Nothing in my inbox.
Oh, you know, you should. Yeah, I know. Check your spam folder, maybe.
Oh my God, is this from you?
Yeah. Do you see it? You see which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, the one with the shark and the other stuff.
Yep. Uh huh. Yeah, you like that?
No, I don't like that. In fact, I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. Thank you.
You're welcome. Because, you know, I'm the queen of email forwards.
I mean, that's one word for it. Yeah, sure.
Better send that out to 10 of your friends before you have bad luck.
Well, here's the bad luck. I actually just forwarded that along to HR, and apparently they want to have a talk with you. I'm sorry.
Oh, good. I'm really excited to talk to them. I have something that you know, I've been waiting to forward them too. So,
well, what episode are we talking about today?
We're talking about the wonderful episode Sexual Harassment, which is the season 2, episode 2. And here we have quite the fun-filled episode of quips, mm-hmm. of inappropriate quips.
Quips, jokes, and all sorts of other inappropriate content.
Quips, jokes, and pokes. Ooh!
There you go. That's the big three.
Yeah, this is the big episode where we learn about Michael's penchant for email forwards. And he calls himself the king of forwards, which I find hilarious. And we're setting the stage for how Michael likes to send around these jokes and get these just forced laughs from everybody because nobody quite knows what to do with them.
I can remember receiving some emails in my time from mostly like family members and stuff that actually had funny jokes in them. But this is more like, here is my boss standing and breathing over my back and the cameras are on me. I better have some sort of reaction to whatever it is that's being sent around or my boss is going to get the wrong idea about me. And it's like, that's all that pressure, that weird pressure of think the things that I'm sending are funny. It's just not great.
Yeah, we're definitely setting a level of inappropriateness for the office right now. And we're just only going to go deeper down that hole as the episode progresses.
Yeah, because
That's what she
said. Ah, that is what she said.
Sorry. That's what she said.
Michael, please.
That's what she said it myself.
That is a Michael level action to the nth degree. I love it.
What we finally meet a particular character that before we've only heard his voice, and I think that he is kind of the epitome of sexual harassment. And can you tell us about who we meet, Micah?
You know how in some like cartoons especially, you'll have like an angel sitting on one shoulder and a devil sitting on another shoulder? Todd Packer is the devil on Michael's shoulder.
Oh, that's such a good way to put it.
And when he comes to the office, he is essentially the whole time, along with just being the absolute worst himself. I mean, he's a sexist ass, and he's every version of ist that you possibly can be. He is all of those things. And he's just terrible, and he encourages Michael to be terrible and pressures Michael into being terrible, mm-hmm. and convinces Michael that when he's not being terrible, he's doing the wrong thing and he's not being cool and not being himself. And that it all just adds up to a horrible experience for literally everyone in the office. And I think for us too, like every time Todd Packer is on screen, I'm either cringing or getting angry.
Who has two thumbs and hates Todd Packer? This guy.
There are 15 million thumbs between all of those of us who hate Todd Packer.
So I even find his name. Okay, so Packer, to explain to anyone who's watching this for the first time, he is the traveling salesman of the office, and he will sometimes pop in and out to, I guess, check in or file paperwork or whatever the heck he's there for. But generally, he's on the road being a salesman. And even his name, Packer, like, mm-hmm. is just so aggressive. And Michael laughs at and admires Packer, but why? Like, why does he admire him so much? Because we can really tell that this isn't who Michael is. You know, we're seeing the worst coming out in Michael because of Packer. And it's like he craves his friendship but Packard gives him like this really shallow version of friendship back. And it's just, it's so deeply sad because this is what friendship is to Michael right now. Michael very much wants a friend and a comrade and someone to joke around with. And Packard gives him just enough of that, that he is willing to compromise his own feelings of right and wrong in order to go along with what Packard thinks is funny.
I always go back to touch on the realism of this show that sort of rears its head from time to time. Michael's relationship with other men, and it goes back to like his childhood and his sort of, I think, sense of abandonment with his actual father. And like, I know I'm getting real here for a moment, but all of his male relationships are these incredibly shallow things, and he wants like more out of them, but he can only get that very little bit. And when he connects with other men, it's always this sort of, again, like trying to be them so that they will be impressed by him. And so when Todd Packer comes into the office, Michael thinks that the only way that he can impress Todd Packer is by being more like him. And Todd is sort of using Michael as a very, I think like he's still looking for validation, Todd is, but it's so easy to get Michael to validate his actions. And now that Michael is in a position of power, Todd is like riding high and riding easy because he doesn't necessarily have to worry about his job security with Michael in that position. Cause he can just be like, yeah, keep me on kind of thing. Let me keep doing my job. And Michael's like, okay.
Yeah. They both feed off of each other because Packard gets the reaction out of Michael that he wants. And then Michael provides him with like the laughs and the, like it's a really messed up relationship.
Yes. It's unhealthy. And like I said, like that is something that Michael finds in every single one of the male relationships that he has. I mean, we've already seen sort of how he treats Ryan, and we'll continue to see that. And like, Ryan clearly doesn't really want anything to do with Michael other than this is my boss and I'm working for him. But Michael already sees so much more there. Anytime there's somebody above him, he'll do whatever he can, it seems like, to try and get that deeper relationship. But he never does because we talked about it in the episode Hot Girl. He's this sort of dog who chases one single bone. And the bone here, if I can make a terrible pun, is this like just being gross and being wrong and being horrible. And that is Todd Packer's bone.
Yeah. I mean, he does not respect women. He thinks that almost every woman is somehow incompetent or stupid just for the fact that she is a woman. And which I find, he goes off on this whole tangent about a sexual harassment situation that happened in corporate. And in the very next breath, after describing how terrible and stupid and silly women are, he then turns around and asks for someone to give him a ride because he has a DUI. The dichotomy of like what he says and then what he's actually doing. And it's like it's highlighting really how stupid and foolish and full of himself and horrible he is.
Yeah, he's completely not self-aware of all of the things. Like he's a walking hypocrite. Along with all of the other things, like I could write an essay that is just a bunch of name calling of Todd Packer that would be entirely accurate. Like that is how I almost think I need to, like, for therapy's sake. I just need to. I could say so much about you, Todd Packer, about how terrible you are.
This episode also has another a very great character in that I really like, and that's Toby. We get a little bit more Toby this time, and because he has to come in and he needs to review the corporate sexual harassment policy, and it's really only like a few minutes long that everyone just kind of needs to hear because of this big scandal that happened at corporate, and everyone in the office is basically fine with it except for Michael, who decides to freak out and rebel against this whole accusation that he feels that he's being attacked, his jokes are being attacked,
free
his email
speech
forwards.
Is being attacked.
Yeah, he goes all the way up to free speech, just like he's just blowing things out of proportion, like he did with there not being any funding in the party planning. That's an atomic bomb, again, is being dropped on him, and he's just freaking out. And I find it really funny that as he rebels and he's determined to fight Toby's boringness with his own fun jokes, and he goes down to the warehouse to kind of harvest up some new jokes that he's going to tell at this great big awesome sexual harassment meeting that's all of 5 minutes long. He could have just let it happen and it would have been done, but no, Michael needs to make a big deal out of it. So he goes down to the warehouse and Michael ends up becoming the target of sexual harassment while he is down there. So he goes down looking for some demeaning jokes to go up to bring back upstairs and tell people. And he himself gets harassed and made fun of and made to feel lesser than and picked on. And he just runs away from the situation. And I kind of love that turn of events in this episode.
Yeah. And like part of the problem there is that Michael just, again, I think it goes back to like him not understanding. There's so much there that's based in misunderstanding because he doesn't realize the question that he asks. He goes down and is asking for jokes and they're like, you want some knock knock jokes? And Michael literally asks, no, tell me some jokes like you would tell to each other. And he doesn't realize like that is how, and I'm not saying that it's right. It's just that this is how this group of people interact. They tease each other and they make fun of each other. And that is their form of comedy. And so Michael says, I want the jokes that you folks tell each other all day. And I have to be careful there because Madge is part of the warehouse and she is just as in it as all the rest of them are. And so then they start teasing him and his looks and what he's wearing and stuff like that. And he is not prepared for that because he is pretty sensitive. And like that is the form of conversation or discourse that they would have on a daily basis. And they all just have thicker skins and know that that comedy is just what it is. Like that's not them trying to be mean to each other. So it's interesting again in a way that like Michael just, he has so much trouble interacting with everyone and it's
well
it's
I think they were also purposely being mean to him. Like they were. I mean they were taking advantage of the way he is and undermining his authority a little bit and by making fun of, like, you would never make fun of your boss in the way that they were making fun of Michael. And essentially they were trying to get rid of him, you know,
yes,
from being down there. So they'd start picking on him and they know he doesn't have the spine to do anything about it. So they just let it rip and it is insulting and hurtful. And yet Michael still returns to the office ready to combat Toby. And he didn't get it. Like, he didn't essentially get the life lesson he was handed from the warehouse people in that, like, this is not a good thing to do. This hurts people. This makes people feel bad. Like, he could have taken that experience and twisted it around and, like, learned from it, but he didn't. He was just like, he just brushed it off, got all angry and upset, and then came back upstairs and continued to do what he was planning to do anyway.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note, too, we talked before about how, like, during the basketball episode, Daryl is pretty chill with him during that whole episode. And this is one of those examples of, you just sort of have to have patience because Michael will give you a chance to get back at him. You know what I mean? Like this was the opportunity, as you were touching on, to tease him and, you know, get back at him for all of the ridiculousness that he's ever thrown their way. So you give it enough time and Michael's going to let you get the thing that you're after.
So it seems like as some kind of like punishment that they end up having to watch a sexual harassment training video, and of course that goes horribly awry and they basically end up harassing the video, like the
That's
people
that
in
girl
the video
from that thing.
Yeah, oh my gosh, like it's just every moment that they all had, no one is learning. Like this whole episode, no one's learning. Pam's getting a huge brunt of all of this increased verbal activity all over the office, and just in the typical hurtful way that we see Pam kind of taking the brunt of things. She just kind of inwardly absorbs it and tries not to react, but it really does hurt her.
And I mean, she's still like the one thing that she can rely on today, I think, is sort of a way for her to back away from everything, or you know, do her normal sort of going into herself, kind of cocooning, is that her mom is coming to visit. So she has that to rely on. But of course, like, the writers set it up so that the day with sexual harassment and all the stuff going on is also the day that her mom is coming. So it just adds to the whole experience.
Yeah, it's a nice little B plot that goes on, because in addition to her mom coming, we also get a little, I want to jump ahead because it is kind of a separate plot, but when her mom shows up, we do get this another little tidbit of tension between Jim and Roy, because, right?
Buddy. Yeah.
So Jim goes up to introduce himself to Pam's mom when she does finally come into the office, and Roy shows up in like the sweater, like he's all dressed up to go out, like with his mother-in-law and his fiance. And at the exact same time, he walks in the door as Jim's trying to go up to Pam's desk where Pam and her mom are talking, and Jim just grabs a jelly bean and turns around like, oh, I was just up here to get a candy, and totally backs off because here comes Roy.
And the camera sees it all.
And then Roy is all of a sudden this like freakish charmer, and he was like joking around.
It's so
with the
gross,
mother-in-law.
Tiff. It's so gross.
It's
I
so
hate
not
it.
Roy. It's so, oh, yeah. And so we see this whole thing, and then instead of like waiting or being like, oh, come with me, or actually being a gentleman, he's like, I'll go wait in the parking lot. He leaves because like Pam still had a few things to do.
Yes. It's like you as the audience know who Roy mm-hmm. actually is. And he sort of gets away with it in that moment of like, I'm going to wear a sweater and have my hair done up all nice, and I'm going to talk about how we're going to listen to some great music in the car. But really, he's just like, I don't want to sit here and wait. So I'm going to sneak away, but use it this way mm-hmm. to make it sound like I'm not just being the turd that I am.
Yes, that's exactly it. But with Roy gone, and now we see Pam and her mom, Pam's mom takes that opportunity to whisper to Pam, and again the camera sees it all, right? And she mm-hmm. whispers, which one's Jim? And Pam gets all embarrassed, and so we have this little, just with that one whispered line and Pam's reaction, her embarrassed reaction to her mom asking that, it is so telling that you could be like, I hear all of the conversations that predated
yes.
that little question. You know,
yes,
you
yes,
hear
yes.
all of that off-screen content all in that one little whisper. And it's so great because you're like, yes, Pam is totally talking to her mom, whom she loves and trusts, and you can tell they have a really good relationship. She's talking to her about Jim
yep.
and she's confiding in him about stuff. And it is just so telling in that wonderful moment. Now, do you think Jim heard that?
Well, that's what I was going to say. This is a brilliant shot because mm-hmm. they have the camera on, and if, you know, if you've seen the episode, then you know, but if you haven't yet, first of all, go watch it. But they have the camera on the opposite side of Jim so that it's sort of shooting through the space between Jim and his computer where you can see, Pam and her mom talking in the background. Pam's mom asks this question and Pam has her reaction, and Jim on the side of the camera facing away on the side of his face facing away from Pam and her mom, he grins. There's a little grin on his face that develops as she's having this freak out. And that is so subtle and so perfect and so smart, and I just love that moment. It melts my heart every time. It's so sweet as he realizes, like, because he just sort of felt, I think, a little bit shot down because, you know, he sort mm-hmm. of pumped himself up. He was going to go over there. And then Roy comes in and steps in the way. He goes and sits down, sort of feels dejected. And then this happens and he's like, oh, she's talking to her mom about me. That's so awesome. it's sweet.
Yeah, it's so great that we get the extra character of the camera. We're really in that mockumentary kind of film situation. And they have these shots that they have that just pick up the subtlety. And I gotta give major, you know, props to the actors because they're acting so big with such small mm-hmm. gestures.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does pick up the human condition in a very, very real way that I think that there have been so many shows that you get over dramatic about it because it's just not as intimate as this is. And you get this like such real life reactions. Like you can't, you know, you wouldn't make that big. That would be a tiny little smile. Like
Yeah, because I mean, you're so trying. Yeah, he's trying to play it cool and not. And I think like there's a certain part where he doesn't want Pam to know that he heard, because that would make her feel more embarrassed by it. Like he's there's just so much that can happen in that moment. And if you put yourself in their shoes, then you also feel like what all is happening there and what the, you know, the thought process is. And yeah, I think you're right. You know, that some people have a some people are bothered by the fake documentary, the mockumentary style of this show. But that to me is what, as you pointed out, the intimacy that ends up happening there and the realism that can take place in this experience that you don't get from a more cinematic style of filmmaking or television show making, whatever we call that. So this is these opportunities are what really make this show so special in my mind.
So we really need to swing back around and
right on back to the A-plot.
All right, back to the A-plot. And pick up when Jan and the corporate lawyer come in at a totally inopportune time, which is hilarious. But if you watch the episode, you know exactly what we're talking about. And so she comes in and announces, tries to convince Michael of his foibles in this area and that the lawyer needs to be there. And Michael's feeling very attacked. And he's feeling extremely attacked by Jan. He's feeling attacked by the lawyer. And he even goes as far as like hires his own lawyer, basically from like the side of a bus, like some telethon lawyer kind of thing. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? What are those, like penny saver lawyers?
We say that he specializes in free speech issues, but then he's like, I also do car accidents and this and that and the other. He's essentially the guy from Breaking Bad, the lawyer from Breaking Bad. He does it all.
Yeah. Well, it's like you know, ambulance chaser lawyer.
Exactly.
Kind of person. And it turns out that as Jan displays to Michael that, no, you're not in trouble. The lawyer's here to protect you, your upper management. And Michael is taken aback for a second and he gets all puffed up. He feels super important all of a sudden because, oh, I'm upper management. And as he says, he's like, I often forget that I'm part of them. And that was something that he set up in the very beginning of the episode and saying like, oh, this is our family and corporate is separate and they're out to get us. And turns out, as we all knew, Michael is corporate.
Like, right.
He's the boss, which he tends to forget very quickly.
That, and this is so funny because of the change in his demeanor. As soon as he realizes, holy cow, they're here for me and like I'm being protected in this, the me versus them attitude all disappears. It slinks away and suddenly he's like on corporate side trying to figure out all of this experience. And it's so funny watching him sort of like be laid back now and understanding that, you know, nothing's wrong, everything's great, and he really is free to sort of be himself. But it, I don't know, I think he feels proud or feels accomplished because he sort of backs away from all of that. And we see him start to think more corporate-like because he knows that corporate has his back. He's like, okay, I'm a boss now. I got to grow up and do my job. And it all stems from him feeling protected by corporate and respected by corporate.
That's right. Daddy can't take a bath with the kids anymore.
Gross. The way that he has to... Ugh.
But we do see we see him trying to fight Packard, right?
Yes.
We see him trying to discipline Packard a little bit when it comes to, we see a small scene where they are kind of the Packard and some Kevin, and they're kind of ganging up on Phyllis about some, I forgot exactly what the joke was, but Michael tries for a second to be the authority in the office, to be like, no, this is not okay, to draw the line and say, you can't make jokes like this. And right at the last second, he has a chance to put Packard in his place, but he doesn't. He then deflects to Kevin and yells at him for something silly, but I guess the intentions are still okay, because
yeah,
he is trying to shut down the harassment of Phyllis, and then in turn he accidentally or on purpose harasses Phyllis anyway. And
oh my lord,
it's like we keep struggling with Michael. Like, we see so much, he gets so close And then he missteps.
Again, it's this one track mind kind of thing, because in this moment, he sees the harassment as making fun of Phyllis and making fun of her for her looks and making fun of her appearance and things like that. And so he's thinking in his head, what is the opposite of this to make her feel better? Well, I'm going to make her feel like I'm attracted to her, and that's the concern here. And so because me, Michael Scott Boss, is attracted to her, then she's going to feel attractive and not have this bad feeling about her appearance. In doing that, he ends up harassing her.
So inappropriate.
The face that she had toward Todd Packer, she suddenly has toward Michael Scott as he's walking away, like with a smile on his face, thinking he just saved the day.
And it's so sad that Michael decides to not discipline Packer for the sake of preserving whatever weird friendship he thinks he has with him, because it's so messed up. It really is. It's a friendship that is worth losing.
So you know, worth as we losing. All it's see. An employee that's worth losing.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is, I wonder how the relationship would be a lot better if Michael stood up to him and actually was his boss and actually put him in his place like he should. You know, it would be better off for the entire office, but it does not go that way. Instead, Kevin gets sent back to his desk.
Yeah, Kevin gets the brunt of it. And Todd Packer, once again, I think like there's a moment where he's like, oh, no, you know, they got to you. But Michael quickly backs down, because corporate getting to him is something that he sees as a bad thing, because he thinks that the opposite of that is what will get him closer to Todd Packer. And, you know, you get the impression that Michael doesn't have many friends, so he's going to scramble to hold on to the ones that he thinks are his friends.
I want to point out one of my favorite scenes happened in this episode, and it's kind of fit in there. It doesn't really fit in with any of the discussions that we've had, but I really... The That's What She Said jokes. I love That's What She Said jokes. I know they're totally inappropriate. I know that they could be very hurtful, and I'm really sorry, but they're really funny. Is that horrible to say?
It just depends on the situation. I don't think they're appropriate in a workplace, in most workplaces, but if you're with friends and somebody says something that works for that, I'm going to shout it out. I don't care. It's a great time. And we all laugh about it. If someone came to me and were like, okay, that actually makes me uncomfortable, then I would know and I would not say those jokes.
And you would apologize
anymore.
And you would be like, okay, good. We've established that. Now, this is the part where Michael goes out into the office and he is about to kind of hang up his comedy holster and say like, oh, I won't be sending out emails anymore because my hands are tied by corporate. I'm forced to apologize. And Jim takes this opportunity in front of Jan and the lawyer to bait Michael into into That's What She Said jokes. And every phrase that Jim says sets up the joke perfectly. And it is just great, because taken alone, they're just perfectly innocent phrases. But if you just think in your head of the That's What She Said postscript, it's hilarious. And he does it so much that Michael just absolutely bursts and has to say it. And the hearty laugh that Steve Carell has in that moment just makes me feel like there is absolutely no way that is not genuine. Like,
right.
He genuinely was almost dying inside to say That's What She Said after you've always left me satisfied and smiling.
You have to imagine that they probably told Jim, like, say some things that would, you know, trigger That's What She Said, as opposed to all of those being scripted. And so you could see like that, you know, they're doing several takes or something. And Jim is spitting out all these different opportunities. And like, that was the one that ended up pushing Steve Carell over the edge to finally say That's What She Said.
We don't have any, I couldn't find any trivia or, you know, information about that, but that totally feels completely possible, because it is that laugh, that moment. I that's one of my absolute favorites.
And I love how the camera shows different shots of different people in the office, and we're seeing everybody. So like this silence, like there's not silence because he's saying these things, but there is sort of this silence that exists as people are on the edge of their seat waiting to see if he's going to do it. And you've got like Todd Packer practically turning red and like nodding his head like, please, you have to say it. And everybody's like,
and
oh,
Jim's
God.
Look of satisfaction, yes. After he like gets Michael to basically like erupt with
he's so pumped.
He feels so pleased with himself. It's very, very good. And then Jan's disappointment, and but oh, it's just beautiful moment.
That's one of those scenes I think you could pull out and be like, this is why you watch The Office. This is so great.
I want to do a little something different with the Dundee this week. And I want to give the Dundee out to a listener instead of a character. So this week, the award, I'm going to call it the Thought Leader Dundee, ooh, goes to listener Shay Shay 1414. And this person gets their award for the great, excellent suggestions that they left for us in an Apple podcast review.
Yes.
And they suggested, and it was great. They're like, if you read this, one, the trivia you know offhand are hidden gems. And I was like, yes, that's such a great thing to hear. And we have been implementing more trivia and more information into our episodes. Mm-hmm. The second thing they suggested was awarding Dundies out to listeners.
Huh.
So bam, there you go. Shay Shay 1414. This Dundee is for you for having these fantastic ideas, which we are totally stealing. Big thank you for being a wonderful thought leader. We will get you a plaque.
Tiff will get you a plaque for a plate. We will actually, no, we will. We will.
Ooh,
I will.
I'll draw
will
one. Make, I'll yeah, draw, you can draw one.
Perfect.
There we go. I'll draw one and we'll post it. Actually, no, you should Photoshop one of the ones that Dwight gets.
Ooh. Okay. That's what we'll
okay,
do.
Yeah. Okay. You'll Photoshop their name onto a plaque for employee of the month, or like a Dundee. Oh no, onto a Dundee.
Onto a Dundee.
What are we thinking?
Yes, you will get a photoshopped Dundee, all your own.
And we'll put it on Twitter for you to view and for all to view in your glory.
Bask in your glory.
Thank you so much for taking the time to leave a review, and your suggestions were great, and we are totally taking them. So you're the best.
And honestly, you know, Tiff and I have talked about this before at the end of the episode. We really do read these reviews, and they really do, like, they're so fantastic. We've loved hearing from you. So, you know, if you want to try your hand at a Dundee, then go ahead and leave a review in the Apple Podcasts library, and we'll be keeping an eye out in the future. So thank you all for that. Of course.
And we also watch on Twitter.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Twitter, yes. Any way that you want to communicate with us, all of those places are places where we're paying attention and like enjoying so many of the different things that you've sent out. And if I can even go one step farther, further, I'll put a link in the show notes. If you become a member of the Incomparable Network, which is the network that we're on, we actually have a member Slack, and we've got a channel completely devoted to Somehow I Manage, and Tiff and I hang out there from time to time. So if you want to, you know, chat about The Office in a more exclusive setting, then you can become a member of The Incomparable and do that there. You can follow us on Twitter at @tall_beats, where we post about the episode and retweet awesome articles that have come across and share the occasional animated image.
All right. Until next time, check your spam folders for any information from me and Micah. That's where it might be.
No, I'm going to delete my whole spam folder. I can't have any more of those creepy shark and monkey videos you're sending.
Directly to trash.